When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.com. FM to get started.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes.
Two today.
Created from the cosmic legends.
My knuckles are hairy. Jesus.
Not such a bad thing. It'd be way worse if my knuckles were hairy. Welcome back to DC Movie News, friends. It's a moxie kind of day, although it might be a moxie hijack kind of day, because I do believe we have a friend joining us in a
bit.
Might
be a Johnny Jack.
Might be how do you John into the moxie? Janoxie? I got to work on that. I'm Roxy Stryer alongside Mikey Christmas, Mike Kalinowski.
Hello, everybody.
Are you itchy?
Good afternoon. No, it's the beard. I just play with it.
Oh, my brother right now believes that if he doesn't grow his beard out until until basketball season resumes, that the Celtics will lose. It's like this, and cannot talk to him without him just rubbing his beard back.
Beard? So he thinks if he cuts it before the Celtics come back, the Celtics are going to lose.
Yes, yes.
Are the Celtics even good anymore since Larry Bird left? That's probably the most I know about the Celtics is Larry Bird. Right?
Wow.
Larry Bird.
What year did Larry Bird leave in, Mike?
He left? Is that with them anymore?
Was it a couple of years ago? When was that?
Just a couple of years ago? Okay, so I'm not too bad.
That was the joke. That was the joke, Mikey Christmas. Yes, Johnny LaCosta will be joining us in a bit from the road, I believe. And Adam Gertler wishes he could be here, but he's too busy maintaining his sausage. Yes, you heard that right.
Gotta feed the people. Gotta feed the peeps.
Gotta feed the people. Our amazing producer is here as well, Ryan Nilsson. Hi, Ryan. Cool.
Hey, y'all. Cool. Hey, y'all. Good oh, my God. Too, sorry, Ryan. Guys. Hey, y'all. Zoom was
okay.
Muted. Zoom was muted. People were talking, but I'm so psyched to be here for DC Movie News.
Woo-hoo. We got a big, another big news week. This is, I'm going to say, 3 or 4 weeks in a row that we've had
probably.
A lot of news going on.
Yeah.
And I will say that thank you to the news this week for waiting until before our show to drop instead of afterwards, because... I'm going to tell them what it was.
Well, I'm going to say I knew what it is, but I didn't read it because I wanted to read it today, right now with you guys. I wanted to hear the sweet dulcet tones of Roxy Stryer feeding me it in my
when
ears.
When you say you want, okay, well, I will read it to you with my sweet dulcet tones then, Mikey Christmas. No, it sounds too weird. Too weird. Guys, this is an interesting one, and I definitely want to get both Mikey and Ryan's take on this. They're bringing a Gotham PD show to HBO Max that is produced by Matt Reeves and is in the same universe as the Batman. That was the massive news that dropped today. Kind of wild. Also, in TV Time news, we will be talking about the new Batwoman casting as they cast a badass bisexual black female lead, which I can't wait to break down as well. Then there's some updates on the Ray Fisher situation that we definitely want to get into, as he is a friend of the show and we want to show our support to him. And Wonder Woman had some new looks, and I'm so excited for that movie still. So keeping Wonder Woman and the hope alive that we get that movie in 2020, plus a whole lot more. So stay tuned today on DC Movie News. But let's get into this first story, Mike, because I got to know your thoughts on Gotham PD.
I might have thoughts.
You see the title come up, right? Yeah. So we're seeing THR, Variety, Deadline, everybody's reporting Gotham PD.
Right.
And then you hear that this is a Matt Reeves thing and in the Batman universe. Mm-hmm. Is your initial, I'm talking about your gut initial, is it yes, or is it uh-oh?
No, it is 100% yes.
Yes.
100% this was what we should have gotten with Gotham. When Gotham was announced, we figured it was going to be based on the Gotham PD, the GCPD storyline, the comic run of that. That was all focused on the police. Batman would pop in every now and then. The villains would pop in every now and then. But it was focused on Gotham Central. That's what it is. I'm sorry. I was blanking on it. Gotham Central, that series of books, which is so damn good. It's basically like Law and Order, but with the cops, the people that deal on the streets every single day, living in the shadow of a person like Batman with these villains. This is what we wanted. And this might not be the story, but it seems like this is more of what everyone wanted. Fandom wanted 10 years ago, 8 years ago that Gotham came out. And Gotham took a life of its own and did its own thing.
And did beautiful, beautiful
and
things.
You loved it, Rox, and some
yes,
people
I did.
Didn't.
A lot
but
of
But the fact
didn't.
That it's Matt Reeves in that, it strikes me. It's very interesting that stuff like this happens. Like we got that Trench spinoff with Aquaman. We've got an Amazon spinoff with Wonder Woman. It seems like these filmmakers are and the DC execs are loving what's being laid out to them and say, hey, how can we expand this? And they're letting the filmmakers go, well, if you want to expand, this is how you would expand it. Without messing what we're doing, it brings it enlarges the world. My thoughts.
I definitely have thoughts of my own, but before I get to those, I do want to, perfect timing. I do want to say hello to our dear friend, Johnny LaQuasto in the house. Johnny, that doesn't look like a car.
I'm sorry?
That doesn't look like a car. I thought we were on the road.
Oh no, I'm no longer on the road. I achieved my destination. I reached it. I'm in Belmar, New Jersey. So I currently have tropical storm hair. It's a little windy out.
It looks
Belmar, New Jersey, buddy. What are you doing there?
Visiting a close friend from college. And I'm hopping around up north right now,
nice,
just visiting
buddy.
People and staying out of Florida. That's what I'm doing.
Hey, good man. Good man. Yeah.
I will say I'm very glad that you are here for this show today. And I want to get your thoughts on this Gotham PD spinoff. I know we're throwing you right in after you've been on the road, but there's a spinoff that's coming from Matt Reeves producing it. It's in the same world as the Batman and it's called Gotham PD. What is your initial reaction to that?
Oh, he froze. That's his reaction, Roxy.
Doesn't it look like his face is about to say something really serious?
No, like, he sounds like, what is being released? What?
Should we take a guess? Based on knowing Johnny for 6 years on this show, what do we think
he he's back? We back, Johnny?
Yeah, it says my connection's unstable. I mean, I'm on 5G, so I should be okay.
It's
not the bad kind of 5G. I hope not. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, you tell us what you feel, and when we can't hear you, we'll fill in the blanks. It will be like Mad Libs. Go ahead. Oh, okay. John, are you with us?
I am.
Yes.
I think.
We hear you. We hear you.
Tell us what you're thinking.
My first thought is, you know, Gotham just ran for 5 seasons on Fox. Now, granted, I did not consistently watch Gotham, but at the same time, it all lasted longer than any of us thought it would. I remember when Gotham first started, DC Movie News Live was already a thing, and we all said, I don't know, this might not last past a season. And sure enough, it ran the whole gamut, it told the story. And so to have Gotham PD coming out, my question is, how different is it going to be? I can't imagine we're going to have Bruce Wayne as a kid again. It's going to have to be a totally different animal, I would imagine.
I wonder if there even is a Bruce Wayne.
No,
in
I don't
the
think
series.
There is, because it's set in his world. There is a Batman's already established. I think this will be the DC, the Gotham Central of film and TV. I think.
Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, what are your thoughts on this? As a massive DC fan as well, was it excitement when you heard about this?
Holy cow! I kind of lost my mind at it this morning. I think this is such an amazing idea, and I think they're capitalizing on something that Marvel hasn't really done well yet, where they've done an amazing job doing the cinematic universe, but when it's crossing over from TV to movies, it's like we haven't really seen Falcon and Winter Soldier yet. We haven't seen how it's gone. And I think they're doing that with this Matt Reeves Batman. I'm psyched to hear if we're going to get all this cast from this Batman movie, that we're getting some big actors, and it's HBO Max. We're going to have quality. I could not be more excited.
I'm excited. I have some slight concerns, and I'm a little confused as well. I'm excited, but I'm concerned because I know that this might be a perfect time for this, but right now we see left and right police shows are getting canceled. because it's not necessarily what people want to watch right now or support. And I understand that Gotham is not a real city, but obviously it pulls from a lot of cities that we know, the New Yorks and Chicagos of the world. And I'm curious the timing of this announcement that we're announcing in DC, something that's focused on Gotham Central. I think that that's interesting. I wonder what they're going to do with that. I don't think you can really not address it. I think that it's good that it's on HBO Max, that it will have the room to really talk about some of these darker things in a way that Gotham wasn't able to do, being a Fox show. And I'm also curious about the fact that we don't know what Matt Reeves' universe even is yet. And we now have this spinoff show. So I have to assume that Warner Brothers likey what they see so far. And so they're like, yes, we want to see more of that in the TV universe. However, what does this mean for DC Universe, considering this is going to HBO Max? Same thing with Stargirl going to CW. What does this mean for the other DC shows that are not in the same universe? Obviously, you can do that because you're DC, so you have all different universes, but just a lot of questions going on in my head. Excitement, but questions. Mikey, you seem concerned with my concerns.
No, you make up a good point about the current climate, I should say. I don't know. I don't think I think that's foremost on most TV shows' minds right now, of what content, especially with these, because police procedurals do very well. They're very well received. And I think everyone's like, ooh, do we want to make those anymore? So clearly there was something in this pitch that said, yep, we're going to go with this.
Right.
I mean, you know, and predominantly in DC, and, you know, the cops are not any better than the criminals. You know, and that's the reason for people like Gordon and Batman, because there's the corruption in the police department. Maybe they're going to address it, kind of like what Watchmen does. You know, Watchmen was a little bit of a precursor, and there was still police in it. It was a police show. It was a police show, you know, mm-hmm. and it plays better now than it did 4 months ago, 5 months ago. I think Watchmen was a very good kind of litmus test. And I think, you know, marrying police and superhero crime and supervillains. And it's HBO. It's HBO. So I think they push the edge. So.
And they have their finger on the pulse a lot of the time too. Yeah, so do. I don't think it's just going to go over their head. Johnny, right. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I think you guys both nailed it. I mean, without question, it's HBO Max. It's going to be gritty. You know, watching Watchmen, you could see how just incredibly surreal that show was. And I think, like Mike said as well, you know, a lot of times the police in Gotham are a complete disaster. I don't think that's going to change. I think it's going to tell that story. And I think ultimately good will hopefully triumph over evil. And my other thought is, you know, with all these awesome shows and different forms of content, you know, Zack Snyder's Justice League coming to, you know, HBO as well. You have to wonder, you know, DC Universe may have to knock down their monthly charge a couple of bucks, because, I mean, yeah, they have a great catalog, but at the same time, can they really say that what they're putting out with original content is going to be better than what HBO is doing? People right now can only afford so much. I mean, the whole country and internationally, people are going through a lot with COVID. And quite frankly, we don't know when this is going to end. A lot of people don't know when they're getting their jobs back. So if you have to choose between how much you could spend per month on entertainment, where do you go?
This is a statement that was made by Matt Reeves following the announcement of the project. I want to get your thoughts on. He said, quote, "This is an amazing opportunity not only to expand the vision of the world I am creating in the film, but to explore it in the kind of depth and detail that only a long form format can afford. And getting to work with the incredibly talented Terrence Winter, who has written so insightfully and powerfully about worlds of crime and corruption, is an absolute dream." Does that spark anything for either of you?
Is he the writer of the film, of their film? Or is he just a new brought on voice?
Interesting. I don't know. Let me check it out. Yeah. And let us know in the chat.
Seems like he's someone that knows the world of Gotham that they're creating. Clearly they created something that struck a chord and it's like, okay, this is going to be good. There's more to this. There's more. Because I've always said that. It's like Gotham itself, when we talk about shared universes and building an MCU and the DC, you know, Batman itself is its own kind of microcosm. It's this, it has the potential to branch off and be its own cinematic universe, the Batman film. And that's what it seems now what it's doing. And the fact that we're doing, you know, the crisis of all of these different Earths, this could be a very different, you know, Gotham that we, it's its own thing.
So to address your question, I don't believe he is. We know him from Sopranos, of course, as the EP, but I guess he also EP'd Boardwalk Empire and he EP'd Vinyl, which I was unaware of.
Oh, so he's not the writer. He's the guy that's going to be like kind of show running it.
Well, he's also a writer as he wrote multiple episodes of Boardwalk Empire, Vinyl, Sopranos, and also wrote the screenplay for The Wolf of Wall Street.
Well, then he knows that kind of world. So
yeah.
Yeah.
That's the guy you want there.
Also kind of fun that he was a co-producer on Sister Sister, which was a show that I absolutely adored.
Tia
and Tamara.
Lowry?
Lowndry, yeah.
It was close. Didn't ever watch an episode of that one, but.
You know, I'm just saying.
That was your jam? That was little Roxy's jam?
Also, shout out to Taj Mowry, their brother. Very nice guy.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
No? Where were you guys in
college? Probably. It's so funny. I talk a lot of DC with people on Twitter and stuff. And I'll talk about we were talking a lot about Batman Forever right now. They're like, I was just born. I remember, you know, that was the year I came out. And I was just like, oh.
And Mike's I had facial hair.
I think I was starting college.
I had a full beard when that came out.
Okay. Come on, Ryan. You're with me on Smart Guy, right?
Yeah, what's wrong with those people, though, that were born around there? I feel like those are also good people.
Yeah, they are good people. What are you guys saying about those people?
Yeah, let's go.
Love them.
What's happening? Thank you. All right, let's move on. We'll continue, obviously, to hear news about what's going on with this spinoff. I'm excited to hear more about it. But for now, let's talk a little Wonder Woman, because we got a reveal. Da, 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 da. Wow, what was that?
That's the 70s One Woman theme song. We're doing TV shows that are dating us. What am I going to do?
Wonder Woman 1984 revealed its new theme song by Mike Kalinowski. Oh, no, wait, that's not what it says.
For a second there, I was like, what? New song's coming out?
I'm going to dub the trailer with that soundbite.
Wonder Woman.
Got it.
All the world is waiting for you. And the wonders that you do in your satin tights, fighting for our rights, and the red, white, and blue. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
And I'll follow it up with
that
a Roxy Stryer classic.
Was my jam.
Allow me to follow those lyrics with a Roxy Stryer classic. Blurred lines go to Jamaica.
How you wanna to Jamaica? Blurred lines.
Still don't know the words.
Oh, God, that was what, 3-4 years ago?
Still don't know the words. All right, guys, we did reveal a new look at the Amazon Olympics. So if you want to check this out, it was a pretty cool image of some of the younger Amazonians. What is that called? Javelin?
Shot? Yes.
Javelin.
Sure.
The shot put is this.
Oh.
The chin. You put the ball on your chin. All right, Javelin is the stick.
They were doing that. Patty Jenkins talked to Empire and she said, what I love about the Amazon Olympics is everything that we got to really celebrate in the first movie. Here are these people who are incredibly powerful and capable, but different in how they approach things. If you've been training for hundreds of years because of an impending invasion, you're going to be constantly working on all these skill sets. So to me, every year they would have these Olympics to see who's doing the best on horses or swimming the fastest and seeing new tricks people have figured out, which is kind of cool. I like this, the big Empire photo. I mean, how old do you guys think that girl is in the photo? She looks like a legitimate child with the javelin.
She could be 350.
Yeah, that's true. We just don't know. So I thought that these were cool. What about you guys? Mikey, how are you feeling about these photos?
Nice to you. Was this the one? These are officially released, right?
By Empire,
Because I saw some pictures. I guess there was a calendar coming out and they put some pictures up and they weren't the highest quality, but it was like Steve Trevor in like an 80s shirt. And I loved it.
You're going to buy the shirt?
I think I had one of those. I think I had it with my Z Cavaricci's.
Well, if you still owned it, then you probably get a pretty penny for it.
Yeah, that's true.
Ooh, who is it? Must pick up.
No, I can't pick up. It's my best friend.
Gotta pick up. Put him on the spot. I saw one of these photos for Empire. Did you guys see where there's a series of more photos?
No.
Okay, so it was just the young Olympian?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, there's that. Hope you guys enjoyed that picture as we move forward to talking about Ray Fisher, our friend Ray, who was hinting that an NDA is what's preventing him from saying more about Joss Whedon. I know on the show we have talked multiple times about wanting to know more clearly what's going on. After hearing that Joss Whedon's treatment on set was gross, abusive, unprofessional, and completely unacceptable. But this is what Fisher said in the Instagram Live with a Q&A with fans. He said, "I'm still very much under contract and I'm still very much under non-disclosure agreement. So I've got to be careful about what I say and how I say it. Otherwise, I can get sued into oblivion. So just a disclaimer there. For the folks who were looking for more specifics in the moment right now, I'm sorry that I cannot give them to you in the moment right now. Just got to make sure all your ducks are laid out in a row so you can go ahead and handle the situation appropriately so you don't end up being outside of professionally liable, legally liable, or anything that could be litigious or whatever that would be. This will take some time. We will get it done. We will win. And then we'll be able to move on in the world. That's it." Johnny, coming to you, what are your thoughts on Ray Fisher saying this?
Also, to follow up what you said, I love Ray Fisher's follow-up quote when someone asked him, you know, what if you did receive more clout if you got sued for speaking publicly? And Ray's response was just so professional, and I give him so much credit. He said, "Keep the clout, keep the fame. I'd be happy doing theater in the mountains of Oregon in obscurity." He said, "I'm fine with that. If this is the only thing I'm blessed to do, I'm fine with that, because what's going to be a wilder process than what this has been?" Which is true. I mean, don't forget, Ray didn't really have a lot of credits. He came on the show and said, like, "Yo, I'm a theater kid, and now I'm a superhero." Like, that's an amazing rise of stardom, and he's proven himself time and time and again to be just a tremendous human being, an amazing choice for Cyborg. And clearly, he wouldn't have come out and said this if he didn't have very strong feelings about what Joss Whedon may have said or done. But we all know what an NDA is like. The three of us have all signed NDAs before. You cannot say exact specifics. What Ray said is, "Hey, he wasn't a cool dude. I didn't like working with him. I'm not the only one." That's all he has to say. I give him credit for even speaking out to that extent. The question is, you know, what will we hear down the road? That's going to be very intriguing.
I'm kind of surprised that he was even allowed to say as much as he did say, if he has an extreme NDA on this. Mike, what are your thoughts?
I'm curious why they had to sign NDAs. Like, aside from, hey, this is a film, you can't talk about the film you're shooting. Like, you can't put pages of your script on the internet. You can't go on talk shows and say, "Hey, well, Cyborg saves the day." You know, I'm like,
I think it's probably very, very common, especially in current day.
Yeah,
that
I mean, I can't say that. Like, I've never been onto a franchise like that where I've NDAs. And I think maybe he, you know, there is a clause down at the bottom that says you cannot talk about, you know, negatively about the production in any way or something like that. I would say, it's like, is this one of those things was signed when he signed on, when he signed his contract? Or was this like, "Hey, Joss is coming in, we're signing NDAs now"? Like,
obviously, I don't know the answer, but
I would
have
love
to assume
know when that's,
I'd have
when
to assume it's
happened
when he started. I don't think when Joss came on, Joss's people
but
had
then
him.
is there legal going, "Well, he wasn't part of this original contract, he wasn't part of this original crew, this is a new crew"?
Maybe.
Like, that's what lawyers are for. They deal with that, you know. But the fact that that's what's, it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, how many times you hear stuff talked about performers where there is no person, "Well, I signed an NDA." You know, all the stuff that was about Lea Michele and all that that came out, and all the Harvey Weinstein stuff. It's like.
But what would have to happen there, Mike, I think, is at a certain point, even if you have a NDA that does not lapse about Lea Michele and you can't say anything, when you speak out, the thing you're at risk of is her suing you.
Right.
And if you say something, if right now in this current climate, I don't remember the girl's name the woman's name who did speak out first about Lea Michele.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was a Black woman who spoke out about Lea Michele and said that Lea Michele told her that she was going to crap in her wig.
Right.
And then other people came forward. Now, in order to, for Lea to say that that's libel, she would have to sue her, which I think would make her look horrible now.
Yeah.
Like, I think that she probably knew if Lea wants to take action on this, she's going to sue me, and she can sue me. You can sue anybody for anybody for anything. But like, I think that probably that's what Ray Fisher's going through right now, Is it Warner Brothers that would sue him? Is it Joss that would sue him for libel?
The thing, too, to think about Roxy is like, okay, is this going forward? Like, is this something that these people that are not good, like, we just, what's his name, Larry Lenkoff, the guy from CBS that just got let go from MacGyver and Hawaii Five-0, you know?
I forget his name, but yes.
It's Lenkoff, something Lenkoff. You know, people speaking out on that, there'll be people with that. It's like, will these people, there are these showrunners, these actors, these directors that are problematic, will they now going into these things going, I want NDA signed on this set. I know I treat people like crap. I'm not going to get sued. I'm not going to let this come out. Like, that's a weird, you shouldn't be able to be protected.
Well,
like,
you would think that
you shouldn't be able to be protected because you're a crap human being.
But you would think that the studio would be more liable than the person because of the hire. Which is why I think he brought John Berg and Jeff Johns' name in.
Yeah, yeah. It's a legal. It's like, well, you're just calling someone out for being not a good human being.
Yeah,
it's not like a sexual thing where there was.
Well, he says abuse, which
I mean, but if it's physical, then that's could. I mean, I don't see Joss.
We don't know what it means.
Physically abusive person, but who knows?
Yeah.
But just be, you know, there's that fine line between. You know, I think back to the days of the Chris Hardwick blow up with Chloe Dykstra. Like, what came out was essentially he was just an awful boyfriend. You know, whether he's saying I'm threatening you, I'm going to blacklist you in the community, but then there's people that are physically abusive, and that's where the line is. Like, that's a legal line. Like, you can be a crap human being. That's your right as a person to be a crap human being. If you want to live your life being a crap human being and treat people like crap by talking down to people, but when you physically attack them, physically assault them, you know, that's a line. And it, you know, I'm not a lawyer. Well, I don't know it,
but Mike, you don't believe in mental abuse.
Of course I do. Of course I do.
And to be fair, a lot of other people came out and substantiated what Chloe, like, not to go on the hard way.
Right. No.
But at the same time, a lot of people came out and said, oh yeah, he's terrible. But yeah, was there a legality issue involved?
Right.
That's, you know, the question.
Yeah. That's what we're really talking about right now is about legally speaking. Yeah.
Sure. And I think mental abuse and physical abuse, both abuses, one is easier to prove.
Right.
Again, I'm not a lawyer and I'm not taking sides. I'm just saying it's mental abuse is huge. And that's where a lot of times
Warner Brothers has their work cut out for them right now, considering what's happening in this situation with Ray Fisher talking about Joss Whedon and John Berg and Jeff Johns, the Johnny Depp Amber Heard situation, the Ezra Miller situation.
Right.
The word abuse is not singular to this. And I think what you're talking about, Mike, is just the tip of the iceberg where what happens to different levels of abuse. And where we finally we're finally at a point in society where we're starting to see ramifications or repercussions for these things. And we'll see. I don't know. And we, at some point, I do think we will have more information about this Joss Whedon, Ray Fisher.
Yeah, like, Rox, to clarify, I can't see if there was physical abuse on a set, like, that would not have gotten addressed right away. Like, if you see someone hitting a crew member, like, how that doesn't, like, or like just the constant walking into work every day. We've all been in situations where we're constantly working today. There's that one person that just, it gets on your last nerve mentally. You're just like, this, I can't deal with this
but
anymore.
But Mike, we really don't know, because like, think about all those times on set where you've heard that somebody threw a chair next to somebody's head.
Right.
Like,
is
that something that gets cut?
And then is that assault?
Right.
Like, I think Ray Fisher, the bottom line is like, enough is enough with this. This is not the right, whether it's mental, physical, this isn't right. People shouldn't come to work dreading going to work. We shouldn't be under the thumb of a person that treats all of us like this. I'm standing up, but I've got to do it the right way.
Yeah. Johnny, what were you saying?
Yeah. To put a bow on this, Ray said he's feeling very optimistic about it, because he said, regardless, at the end of the day, whether or not I'm allowed to say certain things now, he said there is no way that stuff does not come to light down the road, because he said he's not the only person that feels this way. So it's going to be just a waiting process to see what it is. But
yeah, has an NDA, obviously more of them have an NDA. So I will say that we don't know right now, but I would love to hear your guys' thoughts in the comments and in the chat. Let us know what you guys are thinking, both about this and everything we talk about on today's show, including Gotham PD. Are you excited for that? The Wonder Woman reveals of the Amazon Olympics. Did you love that? What are you thinking about the Ray Fisher, NDA, Joss Whedon situation? Tell us your thoughts. And don't forget, while you're here, we have over 215 people watching live. So get those thumbs up, 62 thumbs up. I know we can hit 100 by the end of the show. And also, I did see a lot earlier, we had a super chat come in. Thank you, Matthew W., who said, Gotham was one of the best DC shows in years. That's my boy.
Yeah, people love, some people love it.
I love
some
that show. Don't. Moving on. Although I don't really want to move on from talking about how much I love Gotham, but I guess we can. Warner Brothers exec says that there have been no conversations about releasing a Schumacher cut. All right. Is this news?
No.
No. Okay. And honestly, and look, you know, I'm Mr. Positivity. You know me. It does not take a lot to entertain me. I'm not a critic. But how many people want a 170-minute version of Batman Forever or Batman and Robin?
Here's the thing, and I've been kind of tiptoeing around this online for the past couple of days because I don't want to gatekeep about it. But if you're in fandom, if you're in DC world, if you're of a certain age, there's certain people, younger people like Roxy yourself, you probably didn't know what were you, 5 years old around the time Batman Forever came out? 4, 3, maybe, if that.
Was it?
95.
Yeah, I was 4.
Yeah.
I'm 91.
But if you are a part of the culture of DC, you love DC, you follow DC, this Schumacher cut is nothing new.
You call it the Schumacher cut?
The Schumacher cut. Yeah.
Okay.
This cut is nothing new. And it's not, we need to address this. It wasn't like Schumacher was taken off of this film and they re-edited it. He had his cut of the film, and like every director, they had to get it down to a certain time. Things weren't working, the flow didn't work. So they cut out stuff. The script is out there. There are pictures. The deleted scenes on the Blu-ray, it's all there. Stop making this like, and I know younger people that run websites, they're like, oh, we've discovered this scoop in this hidden vault in Warner Brothers, the classic Batman Forever Schumacher cut. Never existed. It was his film. There was no alternate cut. It's his film that he cut stuff out of. And it is a darker film, sure, but they were happy, Warner Brothers, with this film because they wanted to get away from the darkness of Batman Returns. That's why they brought in Schumacher. They didn't fight with Tim Burton to come back. They did what he wanted. It went on to be hugely successful, that film. It's not a secret cut. It's out
there.
All
right,
just look it up.
All right, all right.
I just off my soapbox, but it just sucks.
We'll talk about a cut that we are going to see that we're excited to see, and that is the Snyder Cut. And this was interesting because Joe Russo, one of the Russo brothers, was talking about the Snyder Cut. And he said, quote, I think it's always great when a director's original vision can find its way to the screen. And then he went on to say, we have been very, very fortunate in our careers that everything we did for Marvel, we would call our director's cuts. So that's kind of interesting. He also explained, and by the way, this is to comicbook.com. He said they, as in Marvel, were very gracious and deferential and very supportive of our vision for those movies. And there's nothing sitting on the editing room floor that we suddenly want back into those films. We worked very hard at what the current cut of those movies are. So we're very fortunate to have released our director's cut on all 4 of those films. I will just chime in here and I will say that I think that when your movies are well received, it's easy to not question what if, but however. I'm sure there is stuff on the cutting room floor that if those movies weren't received well, that they would have liked to add back in. So I do think they're in a different situation, but I like when directors support other directors, and I'm glad to see that the Russo brothers want the Snyder Cut released as well. Mikey, what are you thinking?
Roxy, I agree with you. I think they knew what they were doing since they joined with Winter Soldier. And I think it's interesting because some of the scenes that are on their deleted scenes, you realize like, oh yeah, this shouldn't have been in the film. Like there was a whole scene with Smart Hulk rescuing people out of a burning building that just didn't look right. They were going to introduce Smart Hulk at the end of Infinity War with him and Nat. We're going to have a scene, and that's online right now. And it doesn't play well. It's like, oh, no, it was much better with him showing up as the Smart Hulk where he's at the diner in Endgame. It's a great kind of reveal. They knew these characters. They knew the world. I don't think any of us left dissatisfied after the Endgame Infinity War saga. No one was like, oh, I should have seen, I wanted this, I wanted to see this. There was like an alternate cut of Hawkeye and Black Widow on Vormir that nowhere near as good as what was in the film. So, yeah.
John, but
it's cool that they showed support.
I mean, I think if we want to break it down to something really simple, the underlying message behind what the Russo brothers are saying here is that it's not that fun to work for Warner Brothers compared to Marvel Studios.
I don't know if that's true, because I think it's like, think about how many, just think about how many directors have had Disney issues. Just think about it.
All right, fair enough.
I mean, gosh, you look at Scott Derrickson leaving Doctor Strange. He's like, I'm out.
And who's Ant-Man homie too?
Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
Was originally Edgar Wright. Yeah, there's a, I think,
because I hear you, I think
the thing is, Marvel has their vision. They have a let's call him the Godfather in Feige. He knows what they have to get to, what point A to point B to point C, and you kind of need to fall in with that, you know? Whereas some of these other filmmakers are like, I want to do this.
And you're going to trust somebody on their fourth film more too. So I'm sure they didn't have people breathing down their neck. So Johnny, you're not wrong. I just think that also, I don't know that working for any massive studio is like a real hoot.
Right. But it seems like it seems like the new leadership at Warner Brothers, the people under Sandberg and, you know, Patty Jenkins and Matt Reeves going forward, they love this new group because they're like, we want to give you more content. We kind of want to keep working with you. You know, so there was a change. We're kind of like that post Kevin Tsujihara and all that.
Andy C. reminding us that Patty Jenkins left Marvel too. Oh yeah, for Thor. I mean, that's a good point. So,
and ultimately, it's a wait and see process. We have to watch Zack Snyder's Justice League and see if all the hype is going to be worth it. I, for one, couldn't be more excited for it, but we will find out.
Well, I think we're all pretty excited for that one, including our producer, Ryan Nelson. Ryan, any thoughts on the Russo brothers chiming in on this?
Yeah, I was just saying in the live chat, I was just saying in the live chat that I think the thing that's interesting whenever you're trying to make a movie, you want the storyteller directing your movie to be on the same page with the studio and for you both to be satisfied with it and hopefully have a successful product. And I think the thing that's been so invigorating and infuriating about the whole Snyder Cut thing is that regardless of what you thought of Man of Steel and BVS, they were successful movies. So the Snyder Cut Justice League was also probably going to be a successful movie, but we'll never know because they tampered with it so much. And these other films that weren't as successful, it doesn't seem like, you know, they were as abruptly removed like Snyder was.
Right.
So
right.
That's what's made this cut so interesting, and I can't wait to see it.
You guys let us know what you're thinking in the chat. Did you like what the Russo brothers said? Do you want to see the Snyder Cut? I'm assuming if you're watching the show, you probably do. Also, don't forget that thumbs up. We're at 81 thumbs up and 236 watching live right now, so get those thumbs going. While we move on to my favorite time of the show, Mike, you want to do a theme music for this one?
It's time for
Roxy's Dryer TV time. Roxy's Dryer TV time. Gonna get that TV time. Roxy's Dryer TV time. Roxy's TV time.
All the girls think Johnny's fine.
Oh, I was singing my own.
So divine. Also, Mikey Christmas time.
I thought you wanted a new song.
No, I did. It was a good new song, but then I wanted you guys, I wanted your names to be included in the song.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was doing a full new Roxy verse.
It was just a Roxy verse. Yeah. It's Johnny. Did you like it?
I was gonna say that the tropical storm just picked up. I had to block out the song.
Don't miss those, but I know exactly what you're going through right now, Johnny. I just look at you. I can tell you're like the sweating from the humidity out there. I can tell. Oh,
remember this time that 6 years into this show, Mike told us he was from New York.
You did, Johnny. You knew I was from New York, right?
Didn't you tell us
the Snyder Cut came out? So like, the Snyder Cut's coming out. I'm from New York.
Wait, whoa. I thought you just told us like 3 weeks ago you were from Florida.
Florida, I know.
I grew up in Florida. I was born in New York.
Johnny, you weren't on the show. This is what happened. It was Mikey, Adam, Ryan, and I. And Mike just casually was like, and I'm from New York. And we were like, no, that's Adam. And he was like, no, I'm from New York. I was like, no, I'm from Boston. He was like, no, I'm from New York. You're from Florida, Mike. But apparently not. He's been lying to us all the time.
I was born in New York. I was raised in Florida.
Okay.
I don't claim Florida.
Hugh Jackson in the chat says Roxy is too demanding. Sorry, Mike.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she is. Roxy is way too demanding.
Well, I demand we talk about some TV time news because this is a big one, guys.
Yes, it's huge.
Javicia Leslie is cast as the new Batwoman. No, not Kate Kane, but the new Batwoman on CW's Batwoman. And this is going to be an interesting transition for those who are Batwoman fans because we're seeing a new character with her who is supposed to be a little bit goofier. Ryan Wilder is her name. She's described as likable, messy, little goofy, untamed, nothing like Kate Kane, the woman who wore the bat suit before her, which obviously was Ruby Rose.
Yep.
They say that she has no one in her life to keep her on track, that she spent years as a drug runner, dodging the GCPD and masking her pain with bad habits, that she lives in a van currently with a plant, and she would steal milk for an alley cat and could kill you with her bare hands. They said that she's the most dangerous type of fighter, highly skilled, wildly undisciplined. She's an out lesbian, and the actress that they cast is a bisexual actress. They say she's athletic, raw, passionate, fallible, and not very much your stereotypical all-American hero. So kind of fascinating. Here was her quote on getting cast. She said, "I'm extremely proud to be the first Black actress to play the iconic role of Batwoman on television. And as a bisexual woman, I'm honored to join this groundbreaking show, which has been such a trailblazer for the LGBTQ plus community." I think that definitely every single headline, they tried to get ahead of what they didn't last time, obviously, with the Ruby Rose situation. Everybody's saying that Ruby Rose was not gay enough, and for those of you listening on Apple Podcasts,
what
that was
the hell
the
does
quote.
That mean?
You don't remember when everybody said that to Ruby
I
Rose?
Do, but what the hell is
what does
not
it mean?
Gay
we don't know.
Mean?
But that's why the majority of headlines started with like bisexual woman cast because they wanted you to know she's part of the LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah, I'm very curious. Not funny. It's very curious because the character of Kathy Kane, you know, in the comics, is a lesbian. You know that her sexuality is known, but here we are creating a new character. They didn't need to go that route with it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm
right. I'm curious about that, Mike, too, because obviously Kate Kane in the show is a lesbian as well,
right.
And now they have a bisexual actor playing a lesbian character that is not Kate Kane.
I wonder,
do you think they're going to introduce her in
some
kind
of?
Well,
for me, I think the reasoning was, well, okay, here we are. We finally got a lesbian lead character on the show. The actress leaves. We've got to do this now. Okay, well, we don't want to cast a character being straight because then that takes away a role that we created, a vacancy of a lead person's sexuality that's not straight. So it took it away. So I see and I applaud that the fact that, you know, they're still keeping that what they created with the original intent of Batgirl.
And if they're thinking like that, Mike, probably leading Legends of Tomorrow is a bisexual woman. So they probably wanted to have diversity in what kind of LGBTQ plus they were showing members of the community. And so Sarah Lance, obviously being a bisexual woman, being the lead of the other show.
Is she in real life as well? Or
it's interesting. She really will not talk about it.
Okay.
She's been asked about it.
That's her right.
She's been asked about it multiple times. I think she is rumored currently to have a boyfriend, but that doesn't mean that she isn't bisexual.
That's a rabbit hole. I mean, we've talked a little bit about this show. I'm of the fact that an actor should be able to play a role regardless of sexual orientation, but I understand that the opportunities of me as a straight white man is infinitely more than a gay man in Hollywood. So I definitely see that side as well. But I don't think an actress should be questioned about their sexuality when they get cast in a role. So I'm glad that Katie Lloyds is treating it like that. Like, hey, not your business.
Yeah, she just really doesn't
talk
about it.
My life is my life. I think that's great. This actress came out and said, hey, this is what I am. Proud to represent it. Let's do it. I love the fact that I'm on board with the whole, instead of recasting the character, they've created a new character. That I am 100% on board for. I think it's easier. I think it's easier to explain. And you know, hey, it brings the door open. It leaves it open for Ruby Rose if she ever wants to come back. It leaves it open, you know.
Johnny, what are you thinking?
Congratulations to her. I mean, I love the fact that, you know, she doesn't have an extensive resume, but she's had a great couple of years. Family Business is a show. She's on 8 episodes there, I see.
She was one of the stars of, yeah.
Yeah, over 40 episodes there. And this is really the perfect timing for her. Apparently she has Muay Thai boxing and some combat training, which obviously will all come in handy here. And when it comes down to it, you know, these are superheroes. Superheroes can be any race, creed, color, background. And it's fantasy and it's action, and good for her, man. Like, I'm excited to see it. I don't know much about her as an actress because I don't really get a chance to watch much television, but clearly she auditioned and she is the choice they went with. You know, remember when Gal Gadot got cast, a lot of people were questioning, oh my God, can she play Wonder Woman? And she's arguably been the greatest actor in the DC universe as Wonder Woman. So
Johnny, on that, something I love about this is with the few credits that she has, and I'm not saying it's not a lot because she has more obviously than a lot of people do, but she's not, doesn't have a stacked resume. This obviously wasn't a straight offer. She obviously had to go in and audition. Yes. And that means that she was the best for the role. So you think not true, Mike?
No, Rox, I'm 100%. Because we had a little bit of a debate when Ruby Rose was cast, because I know you were gung-ho on her, and I was not. I looked at it that it was a stunt casting. Like, she didn't need this role. Like, she was a prominent lesbian actress. So I love the fact that this casting, we didn't know her per se a lot. She's not out there. She's not well-known. I love this. I love the casting office, because they do that a lot. They give, you know, Stephen Amell he was on, I think, Grey's Anatomy, and he had a couple shows he was on, but I really didn't know him before Arrow. Grant Gustin was on Glee.
And you know,
but I love Grant Gustin. Like, I love giving these actors a chance because the character will sell it. The show will sell it. Come in and make, and that allows us to, like, Ruby Rose also, she was coming off of Orange and the New Black, John Wick 2. Like, I had a preconceived notion of this actress. So that every time I saw her on screen, it kind of was larger than the character. This actress, it can embrace the role, and I can go in going, this is the role for me. I 100% love that they didn't go with a hugely well-known kind of out there actress.
Well, Ruby Rose apparently loved it as well, as she took to Instagram and posted a photograph of Javicia and said, OMG, this is amazing. I'm so glad Batwoman will be played by an amazing Black woman with a heart. I want to congratulate Javicia Leslie on taking over the Bat Cape. You are walking into an amazing cast and crew. I can't wait to watch season 2. You are going to be amazing. 2 exclamation points and a heart. Interesting that she says you're walking into an amazing cast and crew. As we have heard the rumors that the cast and crew and Ruby potentially were not seeing eye to eye on the hours or the workload, but I thought this was a very nice response. And obviously Ruby stepped away from the role, so why would she have any kind of ill will towards somebody stepping in? Yeah. Ruby
will be fine. Like, she's going to work again. Everyone want to work with her.
Yep.
She's got a, you know, the clout she brings with it is well known, and, you know, she'll be fine. So to see that, you know, she didn't have to write that. No one was asking, you know, I'm sure some people on Twitter were like, Ruby Rose, we demand you to tell us how you feel about this. She didn't owe anyone it, you know?
No.
But she did. So that's great. I mean, I and that's why I said earlier, I liked what she did with the role. I wasn't sold on her originally. I wasn't oh yes, great. But I did like what she brought and I would love for her to see her come back someday. I want that door to be open. And we've seen
I love her.
All the Arrow shows. We saw when his name Colin. He played Tommy Merlin, Colin, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's.
And also, we saw it with we saw it with Arsenal and with.
And those what was his name? He played what's his name? Because he was going through so much trouble personally. Yeah,
he's amazing
away.
From Teen Wolf too. I forget what his name.
I'm sorry, guys.
Right now too.
But then you guys were like, you're like, oh,
hottest man alive.
You're like, oh, I really like this guy. Why is he going? Why is he leaving? And then he came back.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it always seems like there's an open door there for people. I would like to see her come back because I think that'd be kind of cool eventually.
I'm with you. And we would love to know what you guys think. 93 likes right now.
What was his name? It's going to drive me crazy, guys. Yeah,
tell us. What is it? If you looked it up right now and give me a hint. Look it up. Look it up and give me a hint. No, I'm talking about my person. Are you talking about your person?
I'm talking about Speedy, the guy with the great chin.
Yeah, me too.
Chin that could cut glass.
Yeah, it was amazing. What is Ryan? You know,
dressed up as Shrek.
You know what it is. Colton Hayes.
Colton Hayes.
Colton Hayes. Why couldn't I come up with Colton Hayes?
Yeah, ugh. I really liked him. I was glad he was back.
Thank you, Manny Gonzalez, for letting us know that. That is so who it was. Oh, we just couldn't get there in time. But that is okay because we are running out of time right now. One more thing to talk about before we go. The deluxe Batman Beyond Blu-ray set is out for $61. I feel like this is a Mikey Christmas thing. Are you?
Is this news? I think it's been out. Did we put that as a story? Or is it
I did put that as a story. It's a deluxe packaging, Mike.
Of Batman Beyond?
Yeah, it's a deluxe package. Did you see it? You look and
it's got a little
what is Pop it, Funko? A Funko?
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
Ryan, I think that might not be news, buddy.
It came out on comicbook.com on July 8th.
I appreciate it.
On July 8th.
Okay. I think I've had that for a while, though. Okay. Hey, people don't know. People might not know.
You can get it on Amazon now.
And maybe there's a special on it. Maybe they released
39% off the original box price.
There you go.
And $1 off an all-time low. So maybe, you know, Ryan just is trying to save money for the people.
Yeah, right, during this time of year.
There's three featurettes just about the making of the show, as well as Beyond the Joker and just a fully remastered. There's audio commentary from all the filmmakers for multiple episodes and just a lot of insight to the production and the effects. If you're stuck at home at quarantine, this might be a really great thing to buy.
Haynes, not Haynes. Ugh. Up today, Colton Haynes. Thank you guys for being in here in the chat and always correcting us. Thank you guys for loving Ryan for letting you know when there are discount deals. Thank you guys for appreciating Mikey Christmas when he throws sass towards Ryan. And thank you for appreciating Johnny's hair, regardless of what's going on in New Jersey. Guys, we are getting out of here. And before we do, I want you guys to be able to keep up with us. Also, Mikey Christmas, where can people find you?
You can find me at Mike Kalinowski _.
Jay Quasto?
At Jay Quasto, of course. But most importantly, I released a new project this week that will be a weekly show. If you're into the paranormal, if you enjoy craft beverages, we combine both. It's a new paranormal podcast called Haunts and Hops. My co-hosts are Ashley Trobe and Anastasia Washington, who are both paranormal professionals. Really fun. So follow at Haunts and Hops on all social media platforms. And, you know, if you can go on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, a review. It's very, very, very fun. And I've been fascinated with the paranormal my entire life. And so finally I had the time to release a project like this. It's going to be pretty cool.
Paranormal professionals.
Is it
what
like you just
career.
Get drunk and you start seeing ghosts, Johnny? That sounds like it's a recipe for disaster.
It just so happens that all three of us happen to be beer geeks, and we actually got Tavor to sponsor us, which is really cool. And if any beer fans know that Tavor, they're a beer service that, you know, it's an app that you can get beer from all over the country and then get it sent to you. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Is that kind of like the soup tube idea that those girls put on Twitter? You didn't hear about that on Twitter?
No, I don't know.
Oh, some girl, her boyfriend was trying to pitch her on a pyramid scheme of having soup tubes, and there were pipes all along the city, and you pay a subscription service to soup coming to your house. It was the worst idea I've ever heard, and this girl was like explaining to the fans, like, how do I break up with this guy? He wants me to invest in his soup tube scheme. Oh, go look on Twitter. Just type in soup tubes on Twitter. You'll see. You'll see.
No, Mike, it's definitely nothing like the soup tube, but thank you.
Oh, my God. Our amazing producer, Ryan Nilsson, is at Rye Nilsson. So
yes, and we did hit 100 likes, by the way.
I see that. We hit 100 likes. You guys are the absolute best. Appreciate it. Don't forget to follow our boy, Adam Gertler, at Adam Gertler. Pick up his sausage. His sausage at that's the most Jewish I've ever sounded.
Sausage.
Get his sausage. Doghouse, please support as best as you can. And I'm everywhere at Roxy Stryer. I also do a show every single day. And on Fridays, it's at 2:30. So if you in 25 minutes from now are watching this live and you want to pop over to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/RoxyStryer, I would really appreciate it. And guys, until next time, that's it for DC Movie News.
Bye, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.